We all wish we could talk to animals. As it turns out, we can. Animal Connections with Laura Rowley explores the nature of interspecies communication. What are our animals trying to tell us? Animals commune through love, a force that opens all doors. Listening to them teaches us how to be better humans. Why? We can trust them to tell us the deepest truth about who we are and how one can grow into a more powerful version of self. Laura shares over 20 years of stories and wisdom learned from her work as an animal communicator in this hard and thought-provoking show.
Welcome to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley. I'm your host, Laura, and you can join Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. I'm on every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can listen online or on your mobile devices. Thanks for joining me today. Today we have a topic about being on vacation, going on vacation, traveling. But before I delve into that, I wanted to mention that last month my guest speaker, Tricia Cybersma of Heartworks, thank you, Tricia, for doing a lovely show with me. She generously offered anyone who goes on her website to look at the beautiful paintings, and there's so many nice things on the website. There's scarves, there's paintings, there's afghans, there's coffee mugs, all kinds of really nice gifts that the horses painted. And if you go into the coupon code and put in Laura Rowley, my name, she will give you 15% discount on anything you buy from now until July 3rd. So I thought that was really generous, and she has a good cause going there. So you'd be supporting someone that's really putting some effort into having the animals be heard in a different way. So back to our topic. I was talking about traveling in my title today, and what that really means. I think one of the biggest topics that I often experience when I am working with any of my clients is the idea of, well, I have to leave because my job requires it, or I'm going to a wedding, or my wife wants to go on a trip. You know, what do we do with the pets? What do we do with the animals? Are they going to be okay without us? So I do a lot of calls every week, I would say. I do several calls that have at least a part of them dedicated to this idea of, you know, we're leaving. Is everything going to be okay if we go? You know, they're part of our families, our animal families, and so it can feel like you're abandoning them when you go about people business, doing people things. And so I'll explain to whomever, whatever the animal is, you know, that they have to go, you have to stay, and if it could be different, we would like it to be. But lots of times in the human world, animals cannot be included in all those places because they wouldn't be comfortable for one thing, it wouldn't be safe for another thing, and so this is the safest, best plan is to either take you to a kennel, have a neighbor take care of you, have a house sitter come in, whatever the circumstances, whatever fits for that person. So I was trying to make the animal more comfortable with the idea of the person's departure. So a couple things that are interesting about that in general is usually the person is way more uncomfortable than the animal. And so that's kind of today's topic a little bit. Searching around the perimeters of the idea of why are we so uncomfortable leaving them, and how can we do it gracefully and well? So many aspects of going on a vacation, I think, have to kind of be looked at. If you're going to travel for work, then it's an obligation, a duty, you know, your professional responsibility perhaps to go to another state, to travel on a plane, and the animal has to stay where you leave them. In other cases, it's more because we're trying to reconnect with family or friends, some sort of a trip that has to do with reconnection of ourself into the network that brought us into this world or that carried us during important events, or helping another family member maybe get through a difficult time or a beautiful time, something like a wedding, I think you have to remind yourself why you're going, in other words. Why am I taking this trip? That reestablishment of the human connection that brought you to the idea of you need to go on this trip should be primary. Not to say your animals should be second, okay? I don't mean to sound like that about it, but if you don't stay connected with your network and you don't stay involved in your human priorities, you end up not being a very good human for your animals, is really kind of what I've come to discover. Some people, when we've talked about this at workshops, I talk about it all the time with different people, when they call me up feeling very confused and upset about maybe dreading having to take, you know, their animal to like a boarding kennel or something. So I always ask them, you know, why are you leaving? You know, and how often do you leave? And get them to talk a little bit about their comfort level with why they need to go on the trip to start with, or why they want to go on the trip to start with. Remind yourself of that. I know that sounds silly, but we often forget that whole piece, which is ourselves. Why am I doing this to start with? Instead, they fall right into, you know, is he going to be okay at the kennel? You know, I'm so worried about this or that. Is he going to be lonely? He wasn't feeling well last week. Is he okay if I leave him? And of course, those are important concerns. But if we're not paying attention to ourselves, always in any relationship, we have to pay attention to ourselves as well as the other party in the relationship. So otherwise, you end up with kind of a what? Codependent kind of lifestyle, codependent home, where everybody gets kind of locked into this little tight, squishy space, and it doesn't really allow expansion for anybody or anything when you start to shut yourself down out of a sense of nobody can do it as well as I can do it, or I'm the only one that can take care of these animals properly. So I have instances of this happening all the time. And I was speaking to a woman named Ellen recently, and she was on a trip with me. She was a fellow traveler, and I told her what I did for a living. And she said, oh, would you mind just telling me if my dog, I can't even remember her dog's name. It was something like Fred. It was a man's name. If Fred was okay. Well, first of all, I'm trying to be on vacation, right? So I don't need to be in everybody's business about their stuff they left behind when I'm trying to be on my vacation leaving my stuff behind. So I must have gave her a look that looked a little troubled, like, I want to help you, but geez, that's what I do for a living. And she said, oh, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have even asked you. So we got laughing about that because it was true, she shouldn't have. And it wasn't like it was a critical case. She just wanted to be sure everything was okay. So she got talking about really her perspective when she went on this trip was that she felt she couldn't leave Fred. She left him with her husband. She never does anything like that. We were on a trip in Italy painting with an artist. She couldn't believe we were getting to do it. I couldn't believe I was getting to do it. It was super fun. And she was saying how well the Italians eat and how she recognized how much better she'd felt because she had been there several weeks longer than I had been there. I went for a short stint. She went for a whole 3 weeks, I think. And she said that she'd lost some weight. She said, here I'm eating all this amazing pasta and overeating everything because I'm being on vacation. Instead, I'm losing weight. And we talked about that because she was eating, you know, pure food that they were creating from whole ingredients. So she said, I realized that my husband and I are both retired now, but we got in the habit of eating out to dinner frequently at places that sell food that's pretty processed. And so she was gaining this whole perspective on, I'm not living right. I'm not working anymore. So why am I eating fast food? Why don't I enjoy making some food out of whole ingredients, because look at her bones didn't ache so much, her hands were less swollen, she lost some weight. So she gained this whole perspective on, I'm still living like a person who is pressed for time all the time, eating out at all these fast places when really it's not making me healthy. So that's a huge important thing for her. Like she said, this could impact the next 20 years of her life or 30 years of her life if she got less inflamed and got healthier. And then she could return home to Fred you know, a happier, healthier person with a new perspective. And she said she might even stop feeding him, you know, the commercial cheap dog food and start to make him food, because food is food. Whether your pet is eating it or you're eating it, food is food. And the less processed it is, the more whole it is, the more identifiable it is as that piece of food, instead of ground up and chopped up and baked into little crunchy cakes. Whether it's human food or people food, she had a whole realization about it. So we got chatting about how travel, either for fun or work, expands your horizons, and you could come home with some information about yourself that makes you happier. And she's going to feed Fred differently. So really, out of this trip where she was all worried and all anxious about, am I doing enough for Fred when I go and I shouldn't really go, made her see that she's going to come home and help her husband, herself, and Fred be happy and healthier with better dietary choices. And she was really committed and super excited about it. So in other words, there's a case where you have to look at, why am I going on vacation? Like, what can I learn or what can I experience when I go that I want to bring home with me to improve the lives of those that I live with, animals and humans as well, but also your own life. And the animals, when you do that, is what I found out, notice that you did that. And I'll often talk to people as a follow-up. Maybe a month or two after they've been on a trip, they might call me even about a different animal. They may have already had an appointment with me that was standing. And they'll mention that it was funny when they got home. Fred was so happy to see him. It's like the house is lighter and brighter. It seems almost like he's eating better now. I changed his food. And so I get to do these follow-up calls pretty frequently because I have a lot of people that call me repetitively because they have so many animals that we just are always cycling through different animals. And the troubled ones are what prompt the call. But sometimes I get to hear the happy little message from Fred that he loved the new food. He loved her attitude. And, you know, he was excited about the whole thing. So excitement when you come home is sometimes what they feel, because you're excited again. You're rejuvenated. So, oh, I don't know. You know, we all can really love what we do or where we live or who we live with. But if we don't feel excited about it, I mean, what are we doing it for? You know, and everything gets stale if it gets too repetitive, doesn't it? You know, everything needs, let's just say, freshening up. So these trips we have to do can freshen up. But of course, when we go to plan them, we get into our head about what we do every day to help the animal and what you're going to do to replace yourself as a caretaker, right? Like Simone is this woman that I work with pretty frequently. She's a rider. She has cats. She has dogs. And she was going on a trip overseas. It was her husband's business trip. She was reluctantly going and happily going, but she was considering staying home because the cats needed her. So she was going to let her husband go be by himself and work for 2 weeks alone, and he really wanted her to come. And so we got chatting about that, and I said, well, I don't know. Are you really prioritizing your relationship with your husband or your relationship with your cats first? Well, you know, why don't we check with the cats, make sure the cats are okay, and then you can revisit that idea. So she said, that's why I called you. I knew you'd help me think this through. I'm being kind of nervous. She knew she was being a little bit extreme, and she was hurting her husband's feelings. So she was having a bad moment, so she shared all that with me. So I talked to the cats, and they're cats I've spoken to over the years, you know, a few times anyway. And one is named Bunny, and the other one is named Ralph. And Bunny is this sweet little, I don't know, sweet little shy cat. And Ralph is just sort of like his name. He's kind of this domineering sort of, he's got a sense of humor. He's a bit sarcastic. So I explained to them each individually what was going on with the trip, what was the plan, how did they feel about her staying or going. And Ralph was the one that spoke up first. Usually I like to do just one at a time because if I'm not in the same room with them, they're in a different state. So if I swap back and forth, I'm afraid I'll get mixed up about who is speaking to me. So I usually try to tell the person, let's just stick to one animal, get all the answers we want out of one animal, and then move on to the other one. So it's just how I do it. Other people, I'm sure, do it different ways. But so anyway, Ralph says to me that Simone is acting weird. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, oh my, she's, you know, like got her hair on fire. She's running around making lists. She's all nervous. And he kind of was like, what is up with her? You know, what is her problem? He wasn't being even very, he was being kind of like a teenage boy going, rolling his eyes at his mother. So I told Simone that. I said, are you nervously making plans about all this? She goes, no, I'm running in circles, not sure I should even go. And because I'm worried about them. So I said, well, what are you going to do with them? So she said, well, the neighbor was going to come over. So I said to Ralph, what did he think about the neighbor? There was a schedule. It was a very reasonable schedule where the neighbor would come early and late and come in the middle of the day, check water, change litter boxes. And so it was kind of funny because he just kind of went, so what's the big deal? And I told her that, and it deflated her, but then she got really laughing at kind of about being sort of like an overachiever as, you know, cat mother of the year. The cat did not care, you know. And then she's like, well, will he be okay at night if I'm not there? And I won't be able to sleep. He usually sleeps in our bed. Is he going to worry? And so I explained all that to Ralph. And he said, well, I wondered why she bought those new things. And they smell horrible. So I didn't know what that meant. So I said to Simone, I'm not sure what he's talking about, but he said, you bought something that smells horrible and in relationship to where you sleep. And she started to laugh because she was all worried that he wasn't going to sleep in the bed. So she bought him these new fluffy little cat beds, and they had kind of a strong chemical smell when she pulled them out of the plastic bag because they were all chemicals. Ralph thought they were disgusting. She said, it's true, they're kind of disgusting. So I said, well, first thing, when you buy anything that's chemical, you know, in a plastic bag, wash it before you let the pet use it, you know. So I told Ralph that she was going to straighten that out. And she got laughing at herself then because she realized she was just over-preparing. And not really actually giving herself permission to step out of being Miss Mommy, you know, to Ralph and Bunny. Then I asked Bunny, and Bunny was alarmed that she was leaving. So Bunny had the opposite reaction. So often that happens in animals. You have two different kinds of personalities in the same house. So you're kind of tortured. Like, who do you listen to? Because now Bunny's sort of scared. And I said, well, are you afraid to be alone? Like, does Ralph beat you up, or is there a reason for that? She said, no, but I noticed that Simone is acting like something's really wrong. So I'm just a nervous wreck because I could tell she's afraid. And so Simone said, well, that's true. In fact, Bunny stopped eating a couple times this week. So all of that wasn't really, when I talked to Bunny a little more, it wasn't really because she was afraid Simone was leaving. She was afraid because Simone was acting like, I don't know, there was a state of emergency going on because she was going on a vacation. So it made everybody be frightened in the house. Ralph was a tough customer, took it in stride. Bunny, not so tough, got thinking that something was really amiss. So it was like a mirror. Simone had to kind of go, okay, I got to calm down here. And I would say that's an important piece because I myself, Laura Rowley, get into a tizzy when I have to go. I'm making lists and what have I forgotten? You know, what will the animal babysitter, housekeeper, person that's going to stay with the animals need to do instead of me? You know, I think it's normal. So we have to kind of be nice to ourselves and say, well, of course, I'm being a little nervous here. There's no reason to be upset. And calm down, because when you're acting erratic and upset, you really heighten their anxiety. I just can't say that enough. And I know that people know that, because you're all intelligent animal lovers, or you wouldn't be listening to the show. But you're imposing something on them that's completely unnecessary, because you probably need to go on a vacation and get out of there and rethink your priorities, right? So this happens time and time again. I have sort of parallel stories here. This gentleman, Tom, travels for a living. I speak to him a couple times a year, He has purchased for his dog, Ethel, a sprinter van so that he likes to camp and he likes to be outside, doesn't like to live in hotel rooms. So he has to travel like in a three-state area. So he takes the van with Ethel, his Labrador retriever, who's getting old, and they often kind of camp on the way to some of his sales assignments in the other states. They find a place, they have all these places already figured out where they can park the sprinter van and he doesn't have to leave her at home. He doesn't have to live in a hotel. He can do his work and then hit the road again. So he's been doing that for years. And Ethel's been totally a part of that. And it's been a great joy for both of them. So he called me, I don't know, a couple months ago, really distressed because Ethel stopped getting in the van. She wouldn't get in the van. He bought her a ramp. She wouldn't get up the ramp. He said, is it her legs? What's going on? You know, is her back killing her? Well, it actually was that she was starting to feel vertigo or dizzy when she was in the van. So she was not getting up onto the ramp, not because she was not capable, but because she knew she was going to feel sick once she got in there. So she was trying to let him know, I don't feel very good when we travel anymore, which of course was like a real bummer for Tom because he was grieving the fact that this was a whole lifestyle choice for him. And it really kind of worked for both of them so well because she said to him, I want to stay home with the next door neighbor. There was a lady next door who took care of her on occasion, and that was her choice. So he had to really look at his trips differently and accept what Ethel needed, not what he wanted to impose on her, which is we should always be together. I'll never leave you alone. You know, he was being a really great dog dad, right? But Ethel was like, that isn't great. I feel horrible when I'm in the van. I can't wait to get out anymore. And she's aging, you know? So that brought some understanding to him. And he, I don't know what he decided to do, but he said, okay, tell her I'll stop torturing her. I'm going to rethink like his whole life. He was going to have to rethink his whole way he did things, or maybe take the sprinter van himself and, you know, leave the dog with the next door neighbor who loved actually having the dog. So he was going to work it out, but it definitely hard for him to hear that. But again, sometimes these trips and the agitation or the chaos they cause force us to revisit our own little world and how we're living it and make adjustments for the good. You're listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley.
Animal Connections with Laura Rowley is an intuitive show created for you to learn what it's like to talk to animals. Laura shares 20 years of experiences of being a pet psychic and healer every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, media partner for the Omega Institute. Our beloved animals share our lives and have amazing insights into our well-being, providing us with opportunities for personal growth once we truly begin to listen. It's fun to use animal wisdom to enhance our emotional and spiritual world. Who better than our furry friends to teach us the wisdom born of unconditional love? What if your dog, cat, or horse could help you with your love life? What would they suggest? It's fun to think about and a wonderful way to conduct yourself. After all, animals know well how to love and invite us to love them unconditionally. That's a pretty great way to live life. Animals always communicate with our highest good as their central focus, even when sometimes we feel stymied or frustrated with their behavior. Visit laurarowleyhealer.com to book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading. Laura's readings and workshops help you find the part of you that's able to tune in and connect to your amazing animals. Laura Rowley believes we can all understand by listening differently. Book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading now by going to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's LaurarowleyHealer.com. healer.com.
Quantum Jumps presents a radical new paradigm that we exist in an interconnected holographic multiverse in which we literally jump from one parallel universe to another. In a moment, you can become smarter, more confident, happier, more outgoing, more effective, in better relationships, with more willpower. When you sense a new connection to another possible you, living the life you prefer, immerse yourself naturally into that new state of being. And voila, you've made a quantum jump. Supported by scientific research, Quantum Jumps is an inspirational book backed with practical tools to help you live a happier, more prosperous life. Learn more at quantumjumps.com.
Calling all authors. Have you been considering an audiobook? Well, look no further. Come take advantage of DreamVision 7 Radio Network's unique in-house audiobook production, which includes benefits and bonuses from our radio station. Let our knowledgeable staff guide you to create the audiobook you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank. Check out our full one-stop service from A to Z, including the ACX process. Schedule a free consultation by calling 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to DreamVision7Radio.com.
This is DreamVision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Hi, welcome back. It's Laura Rowley, and you're listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley. I'm on every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I really appreciate how many listeners there are downloading the show. It's a lot of people, like almost 400,000 people now, not quite, that download it, not just listen to it. I'm very honored and flattered, and I hope you enjoy the show. I enjoy doing it. I hope you find some wisdom in all of this. We're talking today about traveling and leaving your pet behind, or maybe taking them with you, but mostly we all have to leave them behind, which is hard. And so I'll repeat again, I think a big piece, which I'll say it a few more times, is that remind yourself why you're taking the trip. Animals, when they live in our presence, find contentment. That's sort of their ground zero. If they've been traumatized for some reason, that can be not true. And a lot of people out there have rescued animals who are not content. So I know that you deal with special circumstances. But for the most part, if left to their own devices, animals will find a way to be content. And if we allow them to be content, then we're content, right? So don't make your vacation be a cause for discontent, because you're starting a ripple, almost like think of contentment as this beautiful still pond. You look out and you feel peaceful when you look at it. Your shoulders relax, you breathe deeper. And then when you throw a big rock in it, it starts all these ripples that reach the shore and it changes the whole pond. And that's what happens sometimes, is we decide the animal's going to suffer and we shouldn't be going. So we make this big ripply wave of discontentment, and it kind of freaks them out. It upsets them. They liked the pond how it was before. They liked the energy of our emotions how it was before. So try to stay, you know, keep your head about you. Try to stay calm and say, remind yourself, the reason I'm going on this trip because it adds to my life for some reason. Professionally or personally, it's adding to my life. So of course I'm going to go, and when I come back, my life will be even better, and so will theirs. It is really the stories we tell ourselves that are so important, right? So for instance, there's two parallels here. One is there are two different horsewomen that I talk to pretty routinely for a decade, because they're in charge of a lot of other people's horses, and they want to make sure that if there's anything that's hurting with the horse or making the horse uncomfortable, they want to make sure they're covering it. They're very responsible people. So Anne Marie is the one woman. She runs a big horse show barn. And while she is collecting her last things, the grooms and the owners are loading the horses into the trailers to go to a horse show for, say, on a Friday afternoon until, you know, Sunday night. She looks at the rest of the barn, those that are not going to the horse show. She stands in the middle of the aisle and she says to them, I love you. You're all okay. I'll see you in a couple days. Enjoy yourself. And she marches out of the barn door. So I think that's a really good strategy. I'm going to say it right there. It's a great strategy because she just set it up for you're all fine. Then there's Karen. Before the show, she starts reviewing her feed charts to make sure whoever's going to feed the horses does a proper job. Then she sees that some of her feed charts are not up to date, so she starts erasing them and amending them. Then she remembers all this added things she sometimes does, and so she puts sticky notes on, it's this blanket, not that blanket, don't forget, it's this halter, never turn them out with that horse. And she starts making all these sort of crazy notes on the whiteboard of don't forget this and be careful of that. Also very conscientious person, also very experienced with horses. But lots of reminders to the staff that's going to be left behind that, you know, be careful because this could go wrong is basically what she's saying. Now, this won't surprise you to hear, I'm sure, but Anne Marie, our first professional, seldom has problems happen while she's gone. Whereas Karen often has horse colics, injuries with horses, accidents where horses get out bizarrely. She has weird stuff happen when she's away. She has a bigger barn, a little different circumstances, so, you know, that can happen. But mostly, I think, she sets it up that everything won't be okay if I'm not here. She's not trusting. So when you are the leader of your home, of your barn, of your herd, of your pack, of your cats, when you're their leader or significant herd member, let's say, you have to realize that you have your own specific mission, and so does each of the beings that you take care of. You know, each soul of the animals and your own is on earth for a mission or a purpose. In other words, they're there to express who they are. And if your job means that you're constantly suppressing that or controlling it, so much so that when you go away, it's almost like a jack-in-the-box where it's been pushed down, and when you leave, it's like somebody springs the door open and out pops, you know, the jack-in-the-box or Pandora, you know, is shoved out of the box. It's because you've been suppressing things maybe too much. You're over-controlling so that when you're not there, chaos reigns. That's one aspect of that. You know, you can't really shove energy down. So when you leave, it pops out and, you know, things kind of have a way of going a little snafu-y. The other thing about that to remember is that, you know, we're all sort of like in this life. Like I would say, we're like jigsaw puzzles or jigsaw pieces, part of a puzzle. You know, so in this case, there's a barn, there's barn cats, there's a barn dog, there's staff, there's clients, there's trainers. And they're all kind of forming almost like a quilt or a pattern of things that works pretty well seamlessly. And it's okay if it gets a little ruffled around the edges. It doesn't have to be perfect. In fact, sometimes when it's allowed to get a little ruffled around the edges, things not quite being so perfect, it's a way for everybody in that jigsaw puzzle to sort of express who they are. The horse that wants to bang his foot on the door and doesn't stand quietly. The cat that wants to sort of disrupt during feeding and jump up while you're trying to scoop out the grain and get attention instead of letting you scoop out the grain. It's rubbing its head underneath your nose to try to get attention. In other words, if you relax and enjoy that, and don't think that when you're gone, everybody else can't enjoy that too, you don't want everything to be such a well-oiled machine that nobody has their own place for individual expression. The really good riders, the really good trainers in the world, dog trainers, the really good cat owners, bird owners, understand that animals need to sort of feel this like little twisty expression and be able to show us what they need, what they want, and that somebody else's response to that is just as valid as your own. So the staff that doesn't quite use the right halter, the cat food that they changed it from, you know, the chicken to the beef by mistake, but then the cat gobbled it down and we turned out he liked it better anyway. You know, could those lead to disasters? Well, sure. But lots of times, if you just chill out about it, it doesn't lead to disaster. In fact, you learn something about what they preferred. And you let go of some of this hyper-heightened responsibility where you think you're the only one that can do it right. No, I'm just as guilty, mind you. I do this too. So when we get overly controlling, it's because we're not trusting that everything's going to be fine no matter what. So we all know this, what we focus on expands. If you think you're going to have trouble, if everything isn't perfect, then you're going to get trouble. In fact, you might get even more trouble than you thought you would get. If you think, on the other hand, things are going to go smoothly, like Anne Marie going, you're all fine, I'm closing the door, I'll see you in a couple days, I'm leaving you with good help, enjoy. You're much more likely in that scenario to have everybody just have kind of fun in your absence, right? So it's all a story we tell ourselves, like, I'm the only one that can take care of my animals how they should be taken care of. You know, but is that best for the animal? You know, it's not always true, is it? You know, here's Tom with a sprinter van thinking he's doing the very best, and, you know, it must be that she's in pain. It turns out she hated the sprinter van, right? But he didn't see it that way because it wasn't the story he was telling himself. He was telling himself the story of when Ethel, his little Labrador, was a younger dog and able to travel more because her brain worked better. And now that she's older, she gets dizzy. You know, he didn't know. So when someone else steps into your shoes, sometimes you get to learn something that really helps you be better at adapting to what needs to be a better truth, right, about your animals and their care. So the idea of a vacation or of travel kind of presents you with that opportunity to learn something. Several of the people that I work with kind of won't travel. When they go to travel, they are traumatized and really, really upset about it. Very similar to Karen making all of her lists and going crazy. They've told themselves the story that if they're not perfectly in the middle of the jigsaw puzzle, running the whole thing as like the key piece, the whole piece will fall apart without them. And I have found that the animals that live in those environments learn the rules. They like all the calming energy that key person provides. They like the contented, calm pool of that. But sometimes some of them who are a little quirkier or need to have a sense of humor or need to maybe be the kind of animal that gets away with getting to break the rules a little bit to feel happy about them. Those animals sometimes struggle with ulcers. They struggle with little anxieties and they're eating like, I do what she tells me to do because I know she knows what's best, but it isn't really what I want to do all the time. Like, I like to be turned out for for more than 3 hours. They only have room for me to be out in the pasture for 3 hours. So I come in to be a good horse, but really I want to be outside all day long with my friends. They're the ones that sort of get more anxious, and then they're more liable. Ulcers in horses are a very common and very real thing. Vets find them all the time. When they when they put a scope down into their throats, they look into the stomach, and they're a big problem for horses that compete and show. And most people are very aware of that and take great care of them. But that's because the lifestyle that we've imposed on them may be calm and perfect and working out really well on so many levels, but maybe the expression of just being outside with a friend for the day and feeling the sun on their back and chewing, which is what a herd animal is designed to do, you know, if it didn't have human intervention, that's what it would do. They don't really get to do that much, maybe, because they're professional horses. They're not allowed to be turned out with other horses because they could get kicked and therefore hurt. Therefore lame. So those people kind of tighten down the controls, forgetting sometimes the best thing you could do is let them be a horse or let them be a dog. In Ethel's case, let her be an elder. And it's okay. So noticing how you feel about all this and work with all this really gives you some great insight into yourself, I think, and makes you better at it, better at being a caretaker. So thanks for listening. This is Animal Connections with Laura Rowley.
What if your dog, cat, or horse could help you with your love life? What would they suggest? It's fun to think about and a wonderful way to conduct yourself. After all, animals know well how to love and invite us to love them unconditionally. That's a pretty great way to live life. animals always communicate with our highest good as their central focus, even when sometimes we feel stymied or frustrated with their behavior. Visit laurarowleyhealer.com to book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading. Laura's readings and workshops help you find the part of you that's able to tune in and connect to your amazing animals. Laura Rowley believes we can all understand by listening differently. Book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading now by going to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's L-A-U-R-A-R-O-W-L-E-Y healer.com. Animal Connections with Laura Rowley is an intuitive show created for you to learn what it's like to talk to animals. Laura shares 20 years of experiences of being a pet psychic and healer every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, media partner for the Omega Institute. Our beloved animals share our lives and have amazing insights into our well-being, providing us with opportunities for personal growth once we truly begin to listen. It's fun to use animal wisdom to enhance our emotional and spiritual world. Who better than our furry friends to teach us the wisdom born of unconditional love?
Are miracles real? Can you move from mayhem to miracles? 30 prominent authors say yes as they share their high fives and down lows of challenges, abuse, addiction, and love. Experience hope, the magic elixir of miracles, through the personal stories of New York Times bestselling authors James Redfield, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Sister Jenna, Reverend Temple Hayes, and many more. If you like bestsellers, Chaos to Clarity, and Crappy to Happy, you'll love Crying and Laughing Through Mayhem to Miracles. Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope, available now on Amazon and in bookstores worldwide.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. This is Laura Rowley. You are listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley. I'm on at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. every Friday. You can reach me through my assistant. Her name is Karen Klein. It's easiest because of different time zones and so forth to just email her. So it's KKLEIN2011@gmail.com. If you shoot her an email, she'll respond. And you can get an appointment with me if you want some help with your own ideas, your own animals, and working through some of this stuff with your loved ones. So thanks for joining me. We were talking about when you leave your animals and you're too controlling over how you think they're going to be taken care of. So lots of times that sort of, and I have so many people say, I feel so guilty when I leave. So I want to think about the word guilt a little bit. I feel it when I leave. I get it. You pull out the suitcases, you start to pack things, you're making lists, you're kind of walking by them fast while they're looking at you like, aren't we going to go for an extra walk? And you're like, later, I have to make a list because I got to go. I got to travel. You know, you get into that mode, right? I try not to. I try to notice when I'm doing it, but I do it too. And we start to act a little guilty about the suitcases. And then they start to limp around behind us and look at the suitcases and do weird behaviors. You'll get cats that start to pee where they don't, you know, they always use the litter boxes. Suddenly they don't know they have a litter box because they're mad. And then you start to feel guilty. Your dog follows you around looking like you're, you know, evil, giving you really horrible looks, right? So we, as humans, if we're kind humans, start to feel bad about that, and we start to feel guilty. So I think guilt is a really hateful emotion to feel, and I hate myself when I feel it. I have to stop myself from feeling it. I have to notice I'm feeling it because, when, you know, think of someone that's guilty. They get shifty eyes. They don't look you in the face quite right. You can almost tell they're lying to you about something. In other words, you start to say, I wonder if I can trust you. You're acting weird. I wonder if I can trust you. That is what the animals ask. So guilt is so detrimental to your relationship to them, because as their leaders, they need to feel that they can trust us with their very lives, right? We're in charge of everything: food, water, shelter, love. We're in charge of exercise, everything that's important for them. So you don't want to be untrustworthy. Therefore, you got to really rein in your tendency to want to feel guilty. It's very, very anti-productive. I find that people worry also about taking their animals to kennels or leaving them in some sort of professional atmosphere. They dread leaving their pet unaccompanied by them. But lots of times, it's all you can do. You're doing your best. And sometimes that's all we can do in life. That's the first thing. But the second thing is, lots of times kennels, for instance, or veterinarian's offices, whatever you have to use for your dog or your cat, you know, they're professional people that are not upset about the whole thing. They kind of look at it as business as usual. You know, they're in that business because they love animals, so they're kind to them. They talk to them while they're cleaning their cages or taking them for a walk. You know, they've got everything they need, food, water, etc., right? And the animal calms down once they're there. I often see that, because they're now under sort of the guide of someone that can be trusted. A good leader doesn't doubt everything they're doing and get shifty eyes, right? A good leader goes, "Here you go. We're in your kennel now. I'll be back in 2 hours. You're a good dog." And they settle down. They rest. They might watch, bark a little, look at the other dogs. They get sick of it. They lay down and they go to sleep. It's nice to send them with maybe some sort of a pillow, if it's okay, or some of your clothing, a piece of cloth, something they could sleep on, a blanket that's yours that smells like home. They settle down on it, and they're usually, they kind of go into a dozy state, and they're kind of happily on vacation from our intensity under the umbrella of these professional places that just say, "Look, there's nothing to worry about. We've got you, and your mother will be back soon." So don't feel too bad about that. You're doing the best you can do, right? The other thing I think that's important, if you're in a different situation, and say you have a caretaker taking care of your animals instead of you, don't assume the animal will behave with them as they do with you. And don't be upset if that's not the same. You know, maybe they aren't sure they trust the other person yet. That might be information for you to know, like if it's a dog that's always quiet on a leash and the person tells you the next week, "Yeah, they always barked when they were on the leash and they were upset." That indicates they're not trusting that person. Have a conversation with them or get a different person the next time. You know? Or if the animal does behave strangely, or maybe better with them, like you'll go on and on and on, "Oh, he's terrible on a leash. He barks on the leash." And then, you know, when you get home, the person's like, "Yeah, they never did any of that." So why is that? You know, they trusted the person that you left them with, and they were okay about it. So you can give the caretaker, in other words, a position of empowerment. Like, what if they're doing it better than you usually do it? Because they're not bringing all their personal stuff to it. Right? You're an important component of the behavior for sure. So sometimes when you take yourself out of it and things get better, you can learn, like, I have to quit worrying about when other dogs are approaching on a leash, because my worry is what's making my dog jump up and down and bark. The caretaker, who didn't even know that was a problem, didn't make it be a problem because they chilled out and just stayed calm as a leader. I worked with this one woman who could be a comic. She's so funny. Her name is Marcia. And we got to be kind of buddies over a trip she had to take with a bunch of her friends, old high school friends. She was leaving her husband, Tim, in charge of their dogs, two beagles. And Tim didn't feed the beagles. He didn't walk the beagles. Tim had nothing to do with the beagles other than he petted them at night when they laid down next to him to watch TV. So she was, you know, making the list of the supplements they should have and how long each one should be walked and, you know, kind of pestering Tim. And she said to me, I know he's not going to do any of this. I don't know why I'm bothering. And we were laughing about it because I could sort of tell that Tim wasn't going to do anything. But it turned out, when we talked to the dogs another time later on, they loved staying with Tim. He let them kind of eat snack food. He gave them pretzels. They didn't exercise. You know, it was like a frat party. They all laid on the couch together. And they missed her. They missed the actual care. The diet was not sustainable, but it wasn't going to kill them for 2 days to eat junk food. Tim was, you know, happily transgressing, letting the dogs have fun. And they actually felt closer with Tim whenever she went on one of these trips because he was letting them be themselves. Like, you guys want to be silly and we'll do what mom doesn't like. This will be funny. And they totally got the joke. And they thought it was funny. And then when she'd come back, they all would, like, zip up their lips and nobody would tell her that anything had happened. They all acted totally fine. And she later on, you know, Tim would confess that he had done all that stuff and that they hadn't had any of their supplements. And, you know, Tim was happy to have her cook again. The dogs were happy to take care of again. And everybody got a vacation from, I don't know, being too conscientious. Pretty funny. She laughed about it. She wasn't mad at anybody. Because the beagles let Tim off the hook. They're like, it's really fun when he doesn't make us drag us out into the rain and snow and make us go for a walk when it's not raining out. We sat around on the couch together, you know? So it gives you a perspective, doesn't it? To see that sometimes we're too much of a drill master or, you know, for ourselves or for our animals, and that they like a vacation day or time too. I would say almost all of them do. As much as they miss you, they're just all that much more happy to see you come home. All right. So remind your caretaker of some of the things, the foibles that your dog has, so that they're not surprised by something. But don't be too worried. Don't worry about it then. Let go of it. Let the person deal with it. If you've gotten someone that's good, that's a good dog person or a cat person, they'll make their peace with it because they'll come at it from a place of trust because you're trusting them. So there's our pond again. Is it a pond full of trust and contentment? Yes. Or is it a pond full of lots of ripples that we have to be careful of every ripple and be cautious about this and don't, and let's not worry about that and la 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 la. You get the idea. One thing I want to caution you from is over-sympathizing with the drama before you depart. There is always drama in every person's home before they depart. You know, the cat that's in the suitcase, the dog that whines constantly while you get the suitcases out. We all know that story. Acknowledge that they're going to have some changes. Like, yes, I'm leaving. Don't try to hide it. Believe it or not, when you say that, they pretty much understand what you're saying. You have to remember that animals read the room really well, way better than we do. They are stellar at achieving clear understanding of what you're trying to say. They might not really understand the words, but they understand the emotion or the feeling. So when you look at them and you say, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm going, it's going to be horrible, and are you going to be okay? When you do all that whining, you really agitate them, and you cause a lot of anxiety because they think something is seriously wrong here. So avoid over-sympathizing with their dilemma. You know, kind of take your cue from Anne-Marie, the horse trainer, who just, you know, marches down the aisle, looks at them all, you're all going to be fine. I'll be back in a few days. I love you. See ya. So tell them the plan. And people that have had rescue dogs, I want to say a special thing about this, or rescue cats, of course. The PTSD of being in a disrupted life, they lost a home, they lost an owner somewhere along the line, or you wouldn't have had them, makes them worry that when you leave, you might not return. So look them in the eye and say, I will be back. And in your head, think to yourself, say it's going to be a five-day trip. I'm going to be back in 5 days. And imagine those 5 days, like the sun going up, the sun going down five times. Sit there and show them a picture of that. And then show yourself walking in the door or driving in the driveway, happy to see them. Show them a little dream. They really, that's how they communicate with each other. So they'll pick up on it with you because you'll be expressing hopefulness. It's really important to do that with animals or anybody that's been rescued or traumatized. Tell them the plan and let them know, like, isn't this great? We're all fine. It's not a punishment. I'll be back, and I'm really happy about this. I feel deep contentment that I'm going to spend time with my project so that I can come back and be a better human to you. And, you know, isn't that lovely that we all share this life together? And if you can bring yourself to that, for one thing, it'll make you have a better trip. But it'll make them have a better trip with your comings and goings. We'll start to feel like empowerment instead of everybody has to stay here or we're not okay, because that turns into sort of like the opposite of empowerment, more like imprisonment. No one can leave because we won't be happy if we don't all stay together. No, that's not really all that healthy, right? So I've never had an animal tell me that they weren't really interested in your happiness and in your being contented. That's always their first priority. So make yourself happy first, explain it to them, and go have a great trip. So I hope you have a happy summer full of good trips. Finally, spring is in the air. You've been listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you for joining Animal Connections with Laura Rowley. Heard every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Join Laura next time to discover how you can embrace the wisdom flowing from your loved animals. Communication starts with an intention to understand. Each week, Laura helps you find your own unique ability to create a better understanding of yourself as taught through the loving eyes of your animals. To connect with Laura Rowley, go to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's LaurarowleyHealer.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.